Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, titled Puranjana Becomes a Woman in the Next Life, Text Number 63. Yata Purushatmana Ekam Adarsha Chakshusho Vidabhutam Avekshetah Tatevantaramavayo. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As a person sees the reflection of his body in a mirror to be one with himself and not different, whereas others actually see two bodies, so in our material condition, in which the living being is affected and yet not affected, there is a difference between God and the living entity. So today we will read the second part of the purport. The super soul is present in everyone's body, whereas the individual soul is conditioned in one particular type of body. The individual soul cannot understand what is taking place in another's body, but the super soul knows very well what is happening in all bodies. In other words, the super soul is always present in his full spiritual position, whereas the individual soul is prone to forget himself. Nor is the individual soul present everywhere. Generally, in his conditioned state, the individual soul cannot understand his relationship with the super soul. But sometimes when he is free from all conditional existence, he can see the real difference between the super soul and himself. When the super soul tells the conditioned soul, "You and I are one and the same," it is to remind the conditioned soul of his spiritual identity as being qualitatively one. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Yathol Mukhad Vispulingad Dhumad Vapi Swasambhavat Api Atmaved Venabhimatat Yatha Agni Prithat Ulmukhat. Fire has different features, that is flame, the sparks and the smoke. Although these are one in quality, there is still a difference between the fire, the flame, the spark and the smoke. The living entity becomes conditioned, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is different because it does not become conditioned at any point. In the Vedas it is stated, Atma Tata Pritak Drashtha Bhagavan Brahma Sabnitha. Atma is the individual soul as well as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the seer of everything. Although both are spirit, still there is always a difference. In the Smriti it is also said, Yathagneha Shudra Vishpulinga Vichranti. Thus, as sparks manifested in a large fire, similarly the small individual souls are present in the big spiritual flame. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord Krishna says, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matsani sarva bhutani nachaham teshva avastitha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Although all living entities are resting in him as small fiery sparks rest on a large flame, both are differently situated. Similarly, in the Vishnu Purana it is said, Eka desha stitasya gner jyotsna vistharini yatha parasya brahmana shakti tathedam akhilam jagat. Fire is situated in one place, but it distributes heat and light. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is distributing His energy in different ways. The living entity is but one of these energies, marginal energy. The energy and the energetic are one in one sense, but they are differently situated as energy and the energetic. Similarly, the Satchidananda form confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha, is different from that of the living entity in both its conditioned and liberated states. Only atheists consider a living entity and the personality of Godhead equal in all respects. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Mayavadi Bhashya Sunilesh Hoy Sarvanash. If one follows the instructions of Mayavadi philosophers, and believes that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the individual soul are one, his understanding of real philosophy is forever doomed. Om Hare Krishna. So in this chapter, Pranjana becomes a woman in the next life. We are approaching the concluding verse. The allegorical narration is coming to an end, as spoken by Narada Muni to Prachina Parishad, out of compassion for him to destroy all his misconceptions, both at the bodily level and also at the spiritual level. At the bodily level, because he was a pious man, so he wanted to remove that misconception about piety, heavenly planets, good karma. And at the liberated form, he wanted to reveal to him that how the soul is always an individual and he maintains his individuality and there is Lord. So we have been hearing about how Puranjana, as a materialistic person, how he was so much attached to his family members, what happened exactly when he had to leave. He was carried away like an animal, very miserable. But then we hear about his next life, he became a woman because of attachment. As Vaidarbhi, but in this time, this case, his as a woman, his husband, whether be his as a woman, he's a man, woman, his husband Malayadvaja was exalted soul and just serving husband submissively, he was as good as a spiritual master. And see, the end result is the Lord is coming right in front of her, giving her darshan face to face, as Prabhupada says in purport somewhere in second canto, that you just follow Guru's instruction, one day you will face the Lord face to face. So we are seeing this reunion between the Atma and the Paramatma. As it is said that there is only three tattvas: Ishvara, Jiva and Bhakti. These are the three tattvas, and this is eternal reality. And not only eternal reality, it is also all pervading. That tattva is still present. That is what is the eternal relationship between the Atma and the Paramatma, a loving relationship. But Prabhupada's last several days, we have been hearing about so much concerned, is taking Mayavad's philosophy to task, as His Holiness Sotra Maharaj said. Why is it like so much? The only concern is because it is possible that we can also fall into that illusion. And not only that, to also protect our own faith and our devotion by not falling into this trap. It's very difficult to understand Mayavad philosophy. We have been hearing for several days. So much you have to strain your mind to understand. How can this be possible? Is it possible like this? And here we have such simple philosophy. Atma, Paramatma and service. Eternal reality. Nothing else exists. I remember once devotee was saying that even in the worst crisis in your life, you are about to fall down from a cliff. My God, is there any worse than that? But just remember that the only reality is there is Bhagavan and there is his devotee and his relationship. This is the only reality. All other things are just illusion. But it's not so easy to overcome this conditioned nature. Jivatma is there, Paramatma is there, very close. The closest person for us is the Paramatma. But still, how far he is? The only thing coming in between is the conditioned nature. And this conditioned nature takes us to different species of life. 84 lakh species of life. So one says it is very simple, just re-establish your relationship with Paramatma and everything is over. But that is what is Varnashrama Dharma. Those who have material desires, you cannot tell them just surrender. This is truth. because there are material desires and I have to fulfill those desires. So there is a system given, you enter Grihastha Ashram and gradually there is purification of this conditioned nature which is in between the Atma and Paramatma. So the success in Grihastha Ashram is, as he becomes very mature in his Grihastha Ashram, his conditioned nature should disappear and he and his family members should get more and more attracted to Krishna. That is the purpose of Grihastha Ashram. It is not that to get entangled. So this is how so simple it is, but same time it's very difficult. But just to make ourselves understand, I just was taking down some verses from Bhagavad Gita which also explains this philosophy, how it's a misconception. The one famous verse, just for understanding, is when Krishna spoke to Arjuna in the battlefield. Na tveham jatu nasham, na tvam name janadipa, na chayvana bhavishyana, sarve vayam athaparam. This is Krishna speaking to Arjuna. He says, never was there a time when I did not exist. Nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Very clear. So it says that you both are eternal, we both are eternal, I am eternal, you are eternal. And in the future also we are going to be eternal. But does it mean that we are same? Of course in 15th chapter there are few more verses where it is said that how the Lord says that there is an infallible soul and a fallible soul. The fallible soul is conditioned. We are here in this material world for time immemorial. We are committing mistakes. We forget. And we are serving our senses. And the infallible is in the spiritual world. He is not committing any mistake. He is only serving the Lord. He can't forget. He can't fall down. One is Nitya Baddha and one is Nitya Siddha. But then there is one more verse which says, the Lord says, besides these two things, I am there, Paramatma. So don't think that you are same with Paramatma. And this Paramatma is the supreme controller. He is the master of all power. And not only that, he is maintaining all of them, including the liberated souls, including the spiritual world. So what to speak about the material world? He is the maintainer. So this relationship, master and servant, is eternal. As it is said by Rupa Goswami, Jivera Swarupai Nityera Krishna Das. But Bhagavad Gita also says that there is Advaita philosophy already is there. The Lord has said. It's in 7th verse, 7th chapter, 24th verse. He's giving an idea that there is already an Advaita concept. Avyaktam vyaktim apannam manyate mam abuddhaya param bhavam ajananto mama vayam anuttamam. Unintelligent men who know me not think that I have assumed this form and personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is changeless and supreme. So Bhagavad Gita also has given a concept that there will be people who will be having this misconception that the supreme Brahman itself comes as avatar in the mode of goodness. So that means the Lord Bhagavan is having material elements. So here he is, Lord has said that these are unintelligent men who know me not. So Bhagavad Gita is very clear about these concepts. But then just to, for our own understanding, that then how did Advaita philosophy in Kali Yuga originate? We are all familiar, just to recapitulate whatever we have heard. So just to understand that what exactly is bhakti then? Context to Advaita philosophy. In the history, if you go back, it is said that Varnashrama Dharma was very smoothly going on. But then in the course of time, dosha arise higher up. Higher up means among Brahmanas. The Brahmanas became very corrupt. And in the name of religion, they started misusing the power, became corrupt, and killing of animals was going on rampantly. Just to stop that, Shaktavesh Avatar, the Lord Buddha, he came and he started a new religion, Ahimsa religion, just to stop killing. And that was 2500 years back. And after that, around 1200 years back, Shankaracharya, Adi Shankaracharya came. Now he came to stop this. But it is, the analogy is given that if a car is going at a full speed and you have to take a U-turn, you can't take U-turn at that speed. You have to slow down the speed and then you take a U-turn. So Shankaracharya's purpose was to slow down and then take a U-turn. So he came and he propagated this message to bring back those who had given up Vedas, to also establish the authority of Vedas. That was Shankaracharya's purpose. It is already said in Padma Puran that Shiva is telling Durga, Mayavadam asach shastram prichanam bhavadam uchyate mayeva vitam devi kalo brahmana murtinam. So Lord Shiva is saying, I will come down. In Kali Yuga, he is telling Durga, goddess, the superintendent of material world, in the age of Kali, I take the form of a brahmana and explain the Vedas through false scriptures in an atheistic way, similar to Buddhist philosophy. So something Shiva is a Vaishnava, he doesn't believe in this. But he comes down to propagate this message only to slow down. But if we see in the course of time, this is Lord's deliberate intention to reveal true philosophy, that is bhakti. So he just prepared a way or made way for bhakti to explode. So just 500 years back, suddenly there was explosion of bhakti. All over India, if you see that in Gujarat, Narsingha Mehta, then in Assam, Shankar Dev, then Mirabai, South India, Alvarez, and Kanaka Das, and Vallabhacharya, and so many other names you remember. Suddenly there was explosion of bhakti, they were talking only about bhakti. And in that, Lord Himself came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy to all conditioned souls manifested in the form of, for our understanding, is Prabhupada. Prabhupada carried this mercy. As it was said by one spiritual leader that in his spiritual life that he has seen many yogis who could do so much tapasya, he has seen Vaishnava pandits who can recite all scriptures. He has also seen transcendentalists who can perform so much austerity. But he has not seen any person like Prabhupada, what compassion he had for other living entities. So Prabhupada was some unique personality. Not only that, he gave profound philosophy, but he also had compassion. So when you are speaking with compassion, their heart is to change and his disciples would do amazing activities. Amazing things, never again we can understand that anyone can do like this. This was the power of relationship between an individual Atma and a representative of Paramatma. This is bhakti. So I was just remembering few such incidences in Prabhupada's life, that how this bhakti is superior to all these type of concepts. Why there is a rasa in that. The Lord, out of kindness, he makes all arrangements to see that this conditioned soul comes back to Paramatma, directly and indirectly. So indirectly he does in the form of shastras. As it is said in 11th canto that they are like favorable breeze pushing the soul to go in the right direction. And also as spiritual master. Now spiritual master again, there is Pada Pradakshak Guru, who may not be a devotee. He may be some non-devotee person, but he's just giving direction. Go this side. And there are Siksha Gurus, they can be many, and the Siksha Gurus will remove all doubts, philosophical doubts. and then there is Diksha Guru. Diksha Guru connects the mercy which is flowing down through Parampara. So this way, from all possible angles and directions, the Lord and the spiritual master and the scriptures, everyone is trying to push. But this is at the level of conditioned nature. When our soul is very pure, then the Lord directly directs him from within. And sometimes he can directly manifest outside, physically. Like we hear the case of Madhvendra Puri. The Lord physically appears, drink milk. The Lord is coming. That is only for those pure souls. Or sometimes he may directly appear from within in the form of a dream to speak what he should do. Like Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, you go to Vrindavan, speaking directly. So this is the relationship between super soul and the soul. But there is oneness, and that oneness is definitely not the oneness what Mayavadis think. That oneness is oneness in desire. A pure soul in a liberated state, his desire becomes one with the desire of Lord. So that is oneness. But it's not that he loses individuality. As we see in that Leela where Rupa Goswamis, like how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during Rath Yatra, Rath festival, he in the mood of Radharani, he would be reciting some verses. And only Swarup Damodar will understand. In the mood of Radharani, he will be seeing Jagannath as that Krishna what he saw in Kurukshetra. And he will be reciting the verses saying that you are that same Krishna and I am that same Radharani, and it's the same month and the same sky, the same air, multi flowers fragrance. But still I am longing to be there near the bank of Yamuna, where I like to see you not like this, but as Krishna covered boy. So once when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to meet Haridas Thakur, and Rupa Goswami's kutir also was there, so he entered and he saw some leaflet written. He picked up and he read and he was shocked. He says, how is it that Rupa Goswami understands my desire? So Haridas Thakur said, my Lord, because he has received your mercy. So unless that causeless mercy that Jiva receives, there is no question about understanding what is reality. So this way Rupa Goswami could understand the desire. As it is said, there are three classes of disciples. One is a disciple who would do what he likes and he will not do anything, of course, for the pleasure of Guru Maharaj. But one above that, he is the one who will do what is told to do him. He will not do anything more or less, only what is told. But there is still one who is above these two categories, and he is the one who does it in advance. That is, he knows Guru's desire. So that realization comes only when there is no anartha in the heart. That pure soul is in direct communication with the Lord and he is one in desire. So this is how Rupa Goswami in his in the Chaitanya Leela we get some idea that what it means to be one. Of course Prabhupada himself would be reading his own books, and devotees would ask, Prabhupada, you have written these books, why are you reading these books? Prabhupada, I have not written these books. Krishna has inspired from it. So I want to know what it is. Many times, of course, some people will challenge that if Guru knows everything, because Paramatma is pure, does he know everything? Like once one devotee asked, do you know that how many windows are there in the Empire State Building? This is something as all knowledge you should know. So Prabhupada used to reply that Krishna reveals to me what I should know, and which is useful. Anyway, how number of windows in Empire State Building is anyway illusion. Whether there is this number or that number is as good as how many droplets are there in a mirage. Finally, it's an illusion because it's temporary. So that is not real knowledge. Real knowledge is what will help us to go closer to Krishna. So this is how this oneness between the Jivatma and Paramatma can be understood for our own understanding. But this is how Prabhupada himself in his own life, how he related with his disciples, that what relationship you had, just gives us an idea that what is bhakti and what is his relationship. I just remember one such incident which happened with his disciples. In the early days, this was told by one senior devotee. The Prabhupada in the early days, New York, when he had no facilities at all, he used to buy vegetables, he used to cook, he used to serve, he used to give class, he used to answer questions, he used to clean up. So one of them, he who stayed back, he saw that who must be cleaning up all these things. So he said that, can I come and help you? So he said, if it's all right with you, you can come next Sunday a little early, we can clean up. But this person didn't come. But after several years, three, four years later, the same person was sitting in front of Prabhupada. And he had completely forgotten what had happened. Prabhupada looked at him and reminded him, do you remember? I had told you that you come and help me, but you never came. When he heard that, he could remember. He was so sad, he started crying like an he just collapsed there. Now we hear in this, you know, last verses that old forgotten friend coming back, your well-wisher. For several years he's just forgotten that, and then suddenly he started crying. Prabhupada told other disciples, please take him away. He could not even stand. They had to lift him up. Said, when he is composed, you can bring him back. So after some time, they brought him back. He was staggering. He could not even stand, and he was still tears are flowing. And Prabhupada just touched with his fingers, he touched his eyes. Now these tears, it is said, that when it is hot, it is because of some misery. If it is cold, it is because of ecstasy. So Prabhupada as an acharya, he could extract these type of feelings from his devotees. So these tears were cold, hot, mixed. And this was an acharya, like his relationship was such that he would extract that type of devotion from them just by his relationship. This person could not forget that. How kind you are, provided you do like this. How grateful he was for Prabhupada. This was Prabhupada that used to forgive all inappropriate behavior, never bothered about anything. And same time he developed such a relationship that they were willing to do anything. There is one more such incident. This is, I think, somewhere in Los Angeles it happened. So this devotee was very much steady in Krishna consciousness. Then one day he decided that it's too much. And he left the movement. And he left and he joined, he took up some job somewhere nearby, and he didn't tell anyone where he was, because he didn't want devotees to come and trace him and call him back. But he was doing this job, but he could not forget Prabhupada. And he didn't want to come with devotees and meet devotees. So what he would do is call up from that place, he call up the temple and put a kerchief over the phone, so that his voice is not recognized. And he'll ask them, when is the Swami coming? So he wants to know when is Prabhupada coming. So when he finds out that Prabhupada is coming on so and so day, he'll be there, but hiding. He will not come in front. He didn't want to meet anyone. So when Prabhupada came, Prabhupada got down from the car and he had just stepped out. He put his foot, shoes were there. And suddenly this person runs from behind the crowd and just falls on the feet of Prabhupada, and he's just holding Prabhupada's feet and just crying. And Prabhupada is just sitting like this and watching. Nothing, he's not doing anything. And this person is crying. And some devotees, they come forward to separate this devotee. Just move away. And Prabhupada just leave us alone. And he's crying and crying and crying, and after some time, he leaves. And Prabhupada doesn't even bother to look at him. Doesn't speak anything. And he walks. And his shoes are all soiled with tears. People come with some other fresh pair of shoes. Prabhupada, this your shoes are soiled very well. No. And he just walks inside. And Prabhupada doesn't say anything. But these disciples, they realize that there is something. And then they go back and trace him and find out. And you know what he says when they meet? I know Prabhupada sent you. Actually, Prabhupada didn't say anything. But this was how the relationship between Prabhupada and the disciples. This is how intimate relationship. And this is bhakti. Where can bhakti be? We can understand with Mayavad philosophy. Where the Mayavadis are saying that you need a guru for some time and then after that, once it so happened that some disciples asked Prabhupada, what happens when we are liberated, we are released, and we go there? But go there, spiritual world means, how will we find you? They wanted, how will you find him? Of course, the relationship is eternal, because what is there, you know, in the spiritual world if you don't see your spiritual master? So Prabhupada said, you don't worry, I will find you. So this is a relationship of spiritual master, which is non-different from what we are hearing about the Paramatma and Jivatma, always is like a father, a friend, always reminding and trying to bring back. So this, just to get an understanding, Govind Prabhu was giving an example of how atheistic people can justify that God doesn't exist. So this person, it seems, was saying that if God exists, that means he is occupying space. If he is occupying space, he is also all pervading. He is occupying space and he is all pervading, that means he is occupying the whole space. But I am also existing. If I am existing and he is all pervading existing, both of them exist, that means God doesn't exist. So this is the proof that God doesn't exist. So this is atheistic Mayavad philosophy. God doesn't exist. I am God. Or if I exist, then I am also God, because I am also that same. But then, of course, he was nicely explaining that we can't understand the nature of God. What exactly is the nature? His nature is causeless mercy, accommodating everyone. Another, just an example to understand, what does it mean by accommodating? In the train, suppose if three friends are sitting tightly and there is not much space, and if they see that one more friend has come, what is the immediate reaction? They immediately, come, you come, sit. One more space, fourth. Because they have a relationship. So similarly, Paramatma and Jivatma is a relationship. So this relationship is beyond all this concept about how this will work, that will work. He is all accommodating. He just wants, come. So this is how Paramatma is trying from all directions how we can come back. So unfortunately, we are not realized that how merciful he is. So he is available in this age in the form of holy name. That day I was reading this book, Japa Reform, Satsarup Das Goswami. So he is just giving one, just to inspire ourselves when we are chanting. So he is saying, just like if there is an injustice to anyone, that is happening daily, right? Injustice. How do people react when there is injustice? People protest and become violent. There are revolutions in the history. If we see ourselves, actually, there is injustice to ourselves. We are Atma, there is Paramatma, and we are depriving ourselves. In one sense, it is injustice to ourselves. So, Satsarup Das Goswami is saying, your mood of chanting, just like a person who is going through some injustice, how will he react? Will he be very quiet and saying, okay, fine, it's alright, or will he be just raising his voice and full heart he will be trying that, no, this can't happen to me, this is wrong. So similarly, whatever injustice in one sense we are going through, this opportunity is there at the time of chanting, can be chanted, please, how can I remove this conditioned nature which is there between the Atma and the Paramatma. Prabhupada said that I have made all this organization, this assembly, only for one purpose, so that all these conditioned souls, they can get rid of their conditioned nature and re-establish their relationship with Paramatma. So this is
It's only concept what we can understand. I don't know how we can understand Mayavad concept.
Mayavad philosophy is very difficult to understand. I hope it remains always like this. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Is there any comments or any Radha Gopinath Prabhu, any comments or any... Sorry, it's not a prepared class. Thank you. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.